You are listening to Doug's Dirt Diary. This is the place where dirt race fans come to find out what's going on in the world of dirt track racing. First, new recordings of 2009 this weekend as we get back in the flow after our look back at the year 2008. I hope you guys enjoyed the top five downloads that we've had here for the past 12 days or so. But we are talking new stuff now, and we're going to honor an email request that came in over the course of my vacation. Said you got to talk to Kevin Boland again. It's been a while since you've chatted with him. Find out about his season and what he's doing next year. So that's what we're going to do right now. Let's head down to New Brighton, Pennsylvania. That's just a little bit north of Pittsburgh to chat with Kevin Boland. He was the champion this year down at Tri-City, third in the row, by the way. Two feature wins in the modified division down there and finished second in the points down at Lernerville. Five wins for him there. And yes, this is a season in review interview. Kevin Boland joining us. How we doing? Happy New Year, Kevin.
Hey, Doug. Happy New Year to you, too, also.
Well, I understand you guys, you got right at it, right after the New Year started. You had to get right to work, huh?
Well, you know, we were working the day of New Year's. They had a breakdown at a plant, and they needed our services, so we had to sort of, you know, go bail them out. And part of the work, you know, our type of business, you never know what we're going to be doing. So, you know, we're just flexible and ready to go. So.
And, of course, his business is Boland Machine, not just racing engines, but all kinds of stuff, basically, anything with machining. Is that job almost done, or are you getting back to normal yet, or no?
No, actually, I'll be going back out this evening. My father's down on the job today. They're actually down there boring some coupling on a gas turbine and fitting some through bolts. And it sort of turned from a little job to a very big job. We've been down there since Tuesday, and it's been a quite extensive job. But the work environment's been really tough to get into, and we had to make some special tooling and fixturing to go in there and get this job done. But something that fits right in our line of work. So they called on us. They knew we'd get the job done. So we're down there working at it diligently.
Well, good job. I hope everything works out well, and hopefully you can get back working on the race cars. When is the last time you've been in the shop, by the way? When's the last time you touched the race cars?
Oh, well, that was we were there on Saturday, and was working up there on Tuesday. And you know, I walk into the bay every day because, you know, it's right attached to our Boland machine where we have our engine shop. So, you know, the race car is housed right at that facility. And so, you know, we're always thinking and talking, you know, after coming back from the PRI show in Florida and trying to see what the new wares and everything are about and what we're going to start steering our program for. We've already started working on it much earlier in the year, but a little bit behind the eight ball. But
okay.
Hey, we'll pick up and we'll be there ready to start the season. So,
what are the plans? Are we going to return to what we did last year, pretty much? Or,
well, I think what we're looking at is we're reskinning our one car. We've always been, you know, on the short side of cars, so we're trying to get a second car together.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to Randy Williamson at Becknell, and they've got some experimental stuff they're trying out down in Florida this year, so he asked us to hold off until he got back from Florida, and you know, he wants to make sure what they've got in the works is going to pan out, and maybe we'll be coming out with that new thing there too. So,
are you going to be one of the guys in Florida?
No, we're not going to Florida. I mean, our work season is right now, and so people are preparing and. You know, trying to get ready for the spring of the year, and contractors and you know, the mining people, and the natural gas industry is really good for us right now. So, you know, we've been quite busy at work, and so we like to play in the summertime, so we got to get our work done now.
Very good. How was the summer? I guess let's start with the championship, Tri-City. First of all, it has to feel good to win it for the third time in a row.
Well, you know, our team just works together real well. You don't have a lot of people jumping from our team to another team, and so we're a family type of a program, and I've got good friends that have stuck with us. So, you know, it's tough to lose much. I mean, you do get a little rusty in the off season, but you know, we pull out the notes and the stats, and we'll be ready to go on that first night at Lernerville or Sharon or wherever we're going to Hagerstown or Tri-City, you know, whatever is going to be available for the time of the year. But, you know, you know, I have to attribute a lot of our success over the last 3 years, especially at Tri-City, you know, with our team and our teamwork. And, you know, we've had good consistent runs and cars, you know, very dependable, and, you know, guys do the work in the shop. And, you know, my job is to try to keep it out of trouble and get it up front and be there at the end. So we can't win races if we can't finish, you know.
Gotcha. Two wins at Tri-City and the championship, but five at Lernerville and second in points. So what was the biggest difference between what was going on at Tri-City and what was going on at Lernerville?
Well, you know, we had some rainouts at Tri-City earlier in the season. You know, that played a factor there, and the points race was really close at the end. At Lernerville, you know, we won five races, but, you know, they've got some good competition down there, Brian Swartzlander, and, you know, him and I seem to go after it on a regular basis. But what hurt us the most there was you know, it doesn't matter how many races you win. It matters what the overall average is at mm-hmm. the end. And, you know, we started out the first of the season trying to run a few of the dirt shows, and, you know, went down to Virginia Motor Speedway, and we got tore the whole left side of the car off early in the season. So that sort of got us behind the points chase, and we were leading it going into that night. And by the end of that night, because of our inability to complete that race, it sort of put us behind the points. And, you know, and then near the end of the year, we were very close on the points race, and we had had some problems with what we thought was an electronic ignition, and, you know, it ended up panning out. It was a terminal connection. Mm-hmm. One of the components broke and was playing the head games on us for about 2 weeks until we found it, so... you know, points are accumulated, and so you need those good finishes to get those. I mean, I think we were about 20-some points out of the championship there, but, you know, it could have been, I mean, you could have covered those points in one night of racing, you know, just by the way the points system works. But, you know, hopefully this year we can fix that by having a car that we don't have to thrash whenever you get one tore up. You can feel comfortable going to a race, at least you can finish.
So where were you better, Tri-City or Lernerville?
Well, I would say, you know, I mean, if you looked at the championship, I say you'd have to say Tri-City, we were better, even though we didn't win as many races. I mean, we had a lot of, you know, bad luck this past year in pulling good pill draws and starting at the tail and, you know, always coming from the back of the pack. And, you know, just you get good guys that are starting to pull, and then you find out you're chasing, and, you know, it's just not enough laps in those 20-25 lap feature events, you know. You're just pulling all the time. So
yeah, because you had five wins at Lernerville, though. I guess that's why I was thinking maybe you might have been just a tick better there, or no?
Yeah, well, no, I'd say, you know, when you look at the wins, then I'd say, you know, Lernerville, I was better. But we tried to work both of those tracks, and, you know, we've won them both before in the same year, and, you know, we're looking to strive to do that again. So we just got to get a little more consistent better luck at the pill draws.
Mm-hmm. And it was a tough year for you, too, because you were a little distracted. You had some family things going on as well, your grandmother, right?
Well, you know, that's the fortunate thing about it. You know, my grandmother was 94, and, you know, she, in the last couple of years, been, you know, put into a nursing home, and she took more of our family time because, you know, we're not the type of family that wants to leave family members just laying into a home just because you're not of, you know, good health, you know, so... You know, my father every day would go up and feed her at 5:30 and spend some time with her. And, you know, when he's up there, you know, he's certainly not, you know, in the garage or working on the motor program and things like the things we need to do. But, you know, family comes first, and, you know, we had to take and tend those, you know, to her. And there's a lot of Saturdays that, you know, we didn't race Saturday nights, but, you know, there's a lot of times on Saturday or Sunday I'd pick her up and take her for a ride in the country and just set her up in the van and go. You know, I'd carry her either. She couldn't walk, she couldn't talk, and, you know, but, boy, she could really relate to having a good time, you know, taking a ride through the fall leaves and stuff. So it was a good thing.
Well, I'm sorry that we lost her, but hopefully she's in a better place, right, Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good. And I have memories of this year of her. Are we racing for her this year, right?
That's right.
Very good. Now, this is a season in review interview, just like every other season review interview that we do. Kevin will get the 9 questions. And like most of these, Kevin got these right ahead of time, so he really hasn't had any time to think about his answers or anything like that. You ready to go?
Yeah, I'll take a swing at them.
All right, what'd you do last year that you wish you could either do over or take back?
Well, I'll tell you what, I would say the big thing is, my experience I had down at the Virginia Motor Speedway early in the season, going there and trying to run a weekend series, with Learnerville and Tri-City, mm-hmm. Having only one car and getting crashed early enough in the season that this doesn't work, and so hopefully we can learn from that there and come back and have a backup car so that in case I got a race the very next night, I got something that I could jump into instead of try to thrash a car back together and try to make a feature. So that's probably one of the biggest setbacks I've had, and so we learn from our mistakes, and we'll try to do something a little different about that this year.
Did that set you back for a while?
Well, it didn't set us back. We never missed any racing. Matter of fact, we drove 7 hours from Virginia Motor Speedway back to Learnerville, and when I pulled into the pit gate there, we didn't even go inside. We just got our pit pass, one pit pass, so I could get in the car and go in and race. And when we pulled in, we had a whole left side of the car cleaned back to the left rear wheel, totally wiped off the car, and the modified actually pulling out for their first heat race when we showed up. So, we had to, I had called the shop on the way back and asked the guys to, bring some stuff up, and we were going to try to make the feature event and start the tail. So we did start the tail and come back up through, and we was running about 12th out of 23 cars and about 11 laps to go. And, another competitor and I sort of bumped together, and unfortunately, there was some other damage to the right rear side of the car when we hit the wall down at Virginia and just sheared the spindle bolts off the right rear. And so at that point in time, allowed the birdcage to flop around, and, we had to park it in the pit. So.
Wow. Wow. So all that from one night. Wow.
One night. But, we were leading the points going into that night. We were leading the points that night at the start of the race, but, uh-huh. I think we fell back to 23rd or something like that, because it was only the first or second race of the season. So I think it was the second race of the season.
Wow.
So, we knew we had a whole season to try to catch up, but we had some problems near the end of the season with that electronic problem that we had, and that sort of set you back there too. So,
wow, tough way to start things out in 2008.
Yep.
Was there a night over the course of the season that the car was actually perfect?
I would say we got 7 wins. I guess that was 7 nights it was perfect.
I mean, is it that way, though? I mean, because there's some nights the car is better than others. I mean, just because you won doesn't mean the car's perfect, right?
Well, that's like a crapshoot. Every night you go racing, I mean, I can't say you got the magic, set up on a certain page. I mean, you try to... you take and say, okay, this is where we're starting out from. But, each night you got to sort of take and look at everything around you and see what's happening. And, you try to, come up with a better plan to finish the race first and pick up that checkered flag. And, sometimes things work out for you and other times they don't. But, that BRP, the Dirt Northwest deal, we had finished second in that this year. And, out of 15 races, we had seven feature wins, and the rest were all seconds. So,
nice.
We got beat by 1 point in that series, but it's just the way the things went,
Who beat you?
Brian Swartzlander.
He did. Okay, that was going to be my guess, but I wasn't sure. 1 point is all it was, huh?
1 point.
Now, what'd you get for that, just out of curiosity, for a second?
That's done through dirt, and first place gets $1,800, second place gets $1,200.
Okay.
It falls back to, I'm not sure how many positions. I don't look too far back because I want to be in the top.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but that's $1,200 you didn't have before, right?
That's right, yep. And so it's sort of like a nice incentive to try to make the best of your 12 or 15 races. I think it's 12 races. I said 15, but it's 12 races. Mm-hmm. That you know, you take the best finishes, and that's what accumulates those points. And so their car has that deal, the Western Central and the Eastern Region championships. So they do that in three sectors there.
Gotcha, gotcha. But still, good job there in the second place. I got to get with Brian, too. I got to call him again. It's good you reminded me of that. Was there a driver or drivers that you were looking at the back of a lot last year?
Who? Yeah. There's a lot of them cars I try to get around, I have to come around and get them twice, and I see them a lot. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know that there's too many guys that I see a lot. I mean, you know, when you got competition, I would say, you know, Brian or Schindeldecker or Roger, all those guys are ones that, you know, when you pull a bad pill draw, you always see those guys. Mm-hmm. But your goal is to try to have a car that's going to outhandle them, they can be looking. I could be that guy that they could be saying, I always see the backside of that 777.
All right, well, we'll talk to them later and find out if your name comes up when that question arises. If you could buy a racetrack, Kevin, and I know you're a real bashful guy, so I know you're going to tell me the truth here. Buy a racetrack, I think like a businessman. So we're looking for good car counts, solid fan base, you know, good surface, racy track. What are you going to buy? Which track?
Well, you know, if you had to buy one, if I was going to buy one, I'd say, you know, you'd have to go with something that's pretty much established. And, you know, I like Tri-City. They get a good crowd and car count. And, you know, sometimes the night you may pick for racing night may have an adverse effect on what your fan base would be. And, you know, Sunday night's a pretty tough night for anybody to go race, especially when you look at the location of Tri-City. But, you know, Mike and Graham and Roger Crick do an awesome job up there of, you know, trying to put some specialty programs together to get the fan base in there. But, you know, if I was looking at it from a business side of things, you know, I would think that Lernerville's right in there also because, you know, they've got that Friday night. Don Martin's mm-hmm. brought that and has been an icon on the race map there for a number of years. And, you know, everybody knows about Lernerville, and everybody that comes in from out of town always wants to say, hey, you know, if I'm going to go to track and I'm going to be in Pittsburgh area, you know, I'm going to make sure I go to Lernerville.
Gotcha. So one of those two then would be the place.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to do that, or is that something that's or you learned enough about the sport that I don't want to pursue that end of it?
Well, you know, right now I've got other interests that I want to still do, and racing's where I want to spend my time. And I know you can't own a track, and it'd be like trying to run a parts store, a race shop, parts store to track, and trying to race at the same time. You got to either go there to either do race, or you got to go run your parts store, or you got to go run your track. You know, you can't do two.
That's true. Okay, so we won't see you running a track anytime soon then.
Well, not right away.
Gotcha. Who's the person in racing? And there might even be a couple of people here on this list. Some people have mentioned that. Who influenced you the most? Showed you the right way? That type of stuff.
Well, I'd say that would have to be my father, Don Bolin. You know, he's the guy that sort of got me in racing back from the Soapbox Derby days, and you know, gave me the support through my motocross days, and you know, got me into the modified racing world. And you know, he works very hard with me. You know, he's not missed many races with me, and you know, sort of taught my brothers and our teammates how to take and compete. And mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I'd have to say that he's been my biggest influence on my whole racing career. And, you know, I do it because he likes to do it, and mm-hmm. he does it, he knows I like to do it. So
what's the one thing he taught you? Was there something in particular as you think about it that he showed you to do?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's any one thing.
No?
It's this whole bag of everything. You know, you got to take and first off, you got to be positive, and
right.
And if you think you're going to be beaten before you get there, you're probably going to get beat. So you got to go there with the mindset that you know, those guys that are out there we're competing against got to put their pants on the same way we do, and it's just a matter of how you use what you got and how you make usefulness of your time to you know, be creative and think better than. You got to think outside the box.
Gotcha, gotcha. Good job. All right, you got a magic wand in your hand here, Derek. This is very, very powerful. Or excuse me, Kevin, I'm thinking of your son there for a second. It's very powerful. You can wave it over the racing world and make any change you want. What do you do?
Wow.
This is the toughest one for most guys.
I don't know. I'll tell you what, you know, with as much technology as is out there for all from just about any place you look, there's all kinds of technology, and all of it's expensive. And, you know, if you had that magic wand, wand me a bunch of money, and I'll show you how to be more competitive than what we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, money's not everything, but, you know, boy, you know, when you look at spare cars and having a little bit of depth, it just makes things a lot easier. But, you know, from our vantage point where we come from, boy, when you don't have the money, it surely makes you think a lot harder about how you can improvise and do things and still come up with the net result, and that's win. So, you know, money, I'd say, would be the biggest thing I'd like to have that wanted to me.
Gotcha. How would a fan, let's say there's somebody new, comes in either Lernerville or Tri-City. They've never been there before. They don't know anything about you guys. This fan happens to sit next to somebody who knows all about you guys. They see you out there, and this new fan asks this older fan, who is this Kevin Boland guy anyway? What do they tell him?
Well, I think you got people that, you know, love us, and I think there's people that, I can't say hate us, but, you know, they just don't like us. And
they're not cheering for you.
Don't like us, but, mm-hmm. You know, I think that, I think at the end of the day, I think people would tell you that they like to come and see us race because, you know, no matter where we start, we're going to be the car to watch because, you know, we finish well. We keep the car out of trouble. We're very personable. I mean, yeah, certainly when you talk to people that would say, well, Kevin doesn't talk to anybody in the pits. Well, I'm not there to talk to anybody in the pits. I'm there to go race to win races and set the car up and do things. So, I mean, I'm not going to certainly put myself aside and say, you know, I can't talk right now because mm-hmm. I got, dude, there's that time I will do that. I just got to, you know, I'll handle that diligently at that time. But I think most fans would just, they would, the people that know me, my true fans, you know, they would speak very highly of me, and that's because they're my fan. They know me. They know how I respond and how I treat my sponsors and how I talk to the little guys that are our future that are in the, you know, I guess sign autographs and things mm-hmm. like that, and, you know, how I've touched their people to make a difference.
Now, I talked to Jimmy Horton, and he was saying that he tends to hang around his hauler. He's like you. He's there to race. He doesn't go around socializing and stuff like that. And he said some people think that the perception is that he's arrogant or he's too stuck up to talk. Do you get a little bit of that too?
Yeah. I think there's people that have talked that same line about us too. And, you know, and it's truly a misconception that people, mm-hmm. you know, we've just got so many things going on, and if I had another five more people to help me out, might free me up a little bit.
Then you would be that social butterfly in the pits, huh?
I still have, you know, this isn't Winston Cup where I've got teams of people that all I can right. do is jump in the car and take it and turn it left and keep my foot in the mat. You know,
yeah.
I've got to be a little more. I got to know a little bit more about what's going on with my tires and my engine, and communications is a big key, and so. You know, if you forget any one of those things and, you know, somebody else is not going to on your team be able to read that, then, you know, that might be the key thing that's the difference between first or second place. So, you know, you got to stay focused and stick to your game. And, you know, if they want to come down and talk to me after the pits, after the race is over, they're more than welcome to come and do that. And I'll stick around as long as I can to talk to them. But, you know, nobody wants to stick around, you know. So.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And that's true. That's true. Good point. That's a real good point. Walk me through a standard day. This is a non-race day. The non-racing Kevin Boland. What's a day like for you? Just a Tuesday or Wednesday, standard day?
I'd say I'm a pretty hard worker at my shop, and I'm very customer-oriented, and I look at my customers that if I don't have them, you know, I don't really have work, and so I really, you know, pray for work to come our way for our bowling machine so that I can, you know, have work for my employees so that they can have food for their families. And, I try to take and, you know, be nice to my customers. And, I mean, I am nice to them, and that's why they keep coming back, because, I'm the kind of person that, they want to be doing work for them, and because they know I'm very conscientious. And I would do anything that I do for them as if I were to do it for myself. So that's doing it right the first time, and there's no other way, you know. So, but, you know, other than that, I'm just I come from my work, and I come home and try to do some things. And my wife's a very good person. She's a good cook, and, she looks after everything that I do, and, very supportive of what I do. And, it's just my sons are equally as, they have their things that they do, but they're very supportive in what I do. So they know we're a racing family, and it's you gotta juggle a lot of balls to keep everything going. And unfortunately, we're not made of money. We're just a small family business and doing a lot of good things. And, but my race program is all funded from, my wins and my sponsorships. And sometimes I'll buy a piece of equipment to make that go. But, bowling machine, aside from doing all my engine development, my father, which is the brains behind that, he's sort of, that's the bowling machine is the one leg of the business, and Boltec Motorsports, which is our racing side, we do that. That's our thing, so we spend a lot of days at the shop, and, after the shop day's done, I go right into the race bay, and then I get home at about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, and
wow.
Then we start the day all over again tomorrow, so.
Wow. Well, not easy, right? Or everybody be doing this, right?
Yep, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
True, but that's brutal schedule. Is it 11? It can't be 11 o'clock every night, right?
Well, we try to, if we was looking at a typical race week, we'd race Friday night. We'd prepare the car all week.
Mm-hmm.
We'd race Friday, take off Saturday, go to the track Sunday, and prep the car from Friday night at the track, because, we try to allow enough time for our families that of our team members to get together.
Sure.
And we sort of just go there a little early and try to get the car ready to go on Sunday night. And then on Monday is wash night. We'll actually wash the car and sort of go over everything, make sure everything's all right. And then depending on what the outcome of Monday is, whether you got tore up or whether you had some major problem with the motor or rear end or something like that, you may have to schedule an extra day in the week. And so we'd do Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, take off Thursday, and then do the whole routine again.
Wow. That sounds like it's a busy week, though. So you're enjoying this. Well, it's not really downtime, though, is it, right now? But it sounds anyway.
You got to be preparing to get stuff ready. Matter of fact, I got a Tri-City Banquets this coming Saturday night.
Oh.
Or next Saturday night, I'm sorry.
And, okay, 2 weeks.
Bicknell's, we're taking the car up to Bicknell to go over some things and get some updates and things like that in the car. And then we're going to wait till after the Florida Series for the second car to come in. But,
gotcha.
We're just constantly juggling and thinking how we can do it and fit all these things in. Let me tell you, it is a very tough thing to juggle.
Bet.
I wish, when you look at, building your own horsepower, and that's machining your own blocks,
mm-hmm.
fitting your own pistons, doing your own cylinder head work, balancing your crankshafts, doing all your, everything you need to do that you could even imagine to a motor. We do that in the midst of our racing program and our work and everything else that we do. So, a lot of guys will take and, have to go buy those motors and spend, $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 for a motor. And, we don't have those funds available
right.
to do that. So, we still got to go buy our hardcore race parts, but we still got to take and the same token machine them. The nice side of that is we have all the equipment to be able to do that too. So that's sort of keeps everything in perspective. And, fortunately, this past year we did some camshaft development stuff, and we've had a couple of motors, but we ran better than a year and a half with this one motor.
Nice.
One camshaft change. So We've been working over the last 4 or 5 years, and people have known that we've had some problems in the past, but you know, we've worked on those weaknesses and turned them into strengths, and now we've got something that's good and workable.
Nice. All right, fun question to finish out the nine. What was your first street car, Kevin? The first car that you were showing off to your young buddies and saying, this is mine.
Wow. I had a, I got to think about this a second. I think it was a, I had a 1976 Chevy van that was part of my work thing, but then I got a Skylark, a Buick Skylark four-door that my neighbor I bought for $50, and I ended up fixing the fenders on it. It was part of my thing, my dad's teaching, so where you know, he taught you how to take and fix things up, and you don't have to buy everything new. Well, then I got that fixed up, and then something happened to my van. We needed another vehicle, and I ended up getting a little Volkswagen pickup truck, and then those were over the few years. And then whenever I was 19, I got out of school. Boy, I wanted a job. I wanted everything. I wanted a job. I wanted to race. I wanted to, have some real estate, and I just a typical young kid.
I want it now.
I sort of my car that I still have today is I've got a 66 Corvette that I bought when I was 18. So
you were 18 or 19 when you bought that?
19. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's sort of one of the things that was part of my investment, and it was part of my car. But then after I realized it was more of an investment, I had to watch what I was driving. So but then at that time I got a full-time job with the shop, and I've been there ever since. But and then I got a company vehicle, and so I was able to park my Corvette and work on it, and only get it out on special occasions.
Very nice, and you still have it today. That's great. That's great. Not many people can say they have the same car they had when they were 19, unless they're 20, maybe. So, awesome.
Yep, and bought that car. I bought that car. So I worked for it, and got my loan and paid it off, and my grandmother's help.
Very nice. Now a lot of people talking about this year, Kevin, and it's hard not to think that things are going to be tough. What are you thinking? How will this year go? Are we going to feel it in the community, or are we? Because I'm almost wondering, and please tell me if you think I'm wrong here, I think with NASCAR, we could get some of them short track fans back because some of these people aren't going to make those trips. Do you think I'm right?
I think you're on the right track. And, hearing some of the things that were coming from down at the PRI show in Florida, you hear a lot of some of the horror stories in the racing market and with the big three, and what's going to happen there, especially if they start getting some of these the government money, it's sort of hard to say where the R&D is in the big three, with GM and Chrysler and Ford, what kind of support's going to be out there. Nobody knows that right now, but TV is a big marketing thing, and if you don't have money there, it's even hard to say, what would Fox do and all these other places. I think it's all going to be here, but I think we're going to get a wake-up call this year. And like you say, people don't have – we'll probably not have the money to go do those racing weekends at the NASCAR level. But, on the local side of things, I think you'll see some changes there as well. But I think people – that are racers and are true racers, whether you're a car owner or a fan, there are certain things that people like to do, and I think they're still continue to do those. They may not do it as frequent, where they used to go, 2-3 nights a week. They might be down to 1 or 2 nights a week, and there'll probably be a little bit of adjustment. I think the biggest thing that will help us is the fact that the fuel cost, the fuel is are more. A lot better than they were when they were $4 and $5 a gallon, I can tell you.
Yeah, a third of what we were paying 6 months ago. So that's a positive. And guys are going to find a way to race, aren't they?
I think so. I mean, even if it meant using, trying to stretch, a little more life out of this or that, or maybe not buy the new car this year, just fix up the old one and get through it.
Right.
I think people will still race because they know they got the equipment and they can. And, It's just a matter of how many races will they be able to afford to race, and if they break that motor they got, will they have enough to go buy another one or fix the one that they got? You know, those are the things that are going to, they'll tell mid-season and near the end of the season. So, you know, I look at it a little differently, and I sort of think that, when fuel was the big issue last year, and my brother and my father and I sort of sat down and we were all concerned about it, but, you know, we decided, hey, we're either going to sit back and complain about the fuel prices, or we're going to say, forget about the fuel prices, we're going to go whatever it costs. I mean, that's we'll find a way. And so you got to look a little bit outside the box, and you just can't revert back what you did last year. You might have to, work twice as hard to get the same thing, but, you know, you find a way.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to be fine. I really do. You know, a little adjustment, but I think we're going to be fine. So
you hear a lot out there, and you don't know, and you see things like Bill Davis Racing and those guys going under, and talking
Richard
about
Petty, how, Petty Enterprises, just happened. Happened. So
and
they're closing the doors.
The big thing is that big sponsors are spending multi-millions of dollars on these race programs. They're doing that because they want to see their name on TV. They want to see, that sponsor's name on that car in when people are looking at the TV from the couch, and or whether they're on the racetrack and sitting a fan in the stand.
Mm-hmm.
They give those monies to those teams for that specific reason. And whenever you don't come through with the results of that win, then they might not look at their getting the TV time that they expect. And so, everybody has to be very conscientious about what they're doing. And, I owe it to my sponsors. I can't pick up good sponsors if I can't win. And so if I'm not competitive anymore, my sponsors are going to be looking someplace else.
It's true. Just that simple. Well, hopefully everything's going to work out. I'm optimistic. I know you are as well. So hopefully everything will work out well this coming season. What do you think is going to be the first race for you?
Well, I would say, we're definitely not headed to Florida, but we will probably be looking at going to Hagerstown this spring, depending on what the weather is bringing. We got some pretty nice weather here today. It's not real cold. We got just a light dusting of snow, and these winters seem to be dragging further into the end of March, and so you never know what the weather is going to have to hold for us. So right now we have Hagerstown in our mind, and we've got we'll be starting opening night Lernerville, and we'll be back to Tri-City whenever they open their racing season also.
And, of course, these schedules will be coming out within the next few weeks, so sit back. All this stuff's going to be official very, very soon, but Kevin will be going for his fourth championship in a row at Tri-City and try to improve his status at Lernerville by one position. Kevin, thanks so much for your time. Happy New Year, and I guess we'll chat in a little bit here when it gets closer to go time. How's that sound?
Must say the same. Happy New Year, and you guys have a good season, and look forward to talking to you again. I thank you guys for, whoever was the person that requested me,
yeah.
I them also, and hopefully we gave you some good input and some direction of what we're about and what we're going to be headed for. Towards for this year, and we're looking for another good 2009 racing season.
So let us know. Like I said, this interview happened because of an email request, so just send them to me, doug@dougsdirtdiary.com. Kevin, take care. Say hi to Derek for me, and I'll see you at the track real soon.
Okay, take care. Thanks, Doug.
You guys are listening to Doug's Dirt Diary.